Well, I was in Washington, D.C. this past week, and I went to a Trump breakfast. So I got this invite from two senators and this official stuff saying, come down and for this prayer breakfast. So we decided, so I went. And I won't share a whole bunch of stuff, but I got to say that to look up, I was like four tables from Trump, just back four tables. And there were no tickets a year ago, apparently, for this thing. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, you know, here's Trump, and then we got Pence, and so I'm not savvy on all the American stuff. Something like 20 or 30 senators, Pelosi is there, and different people are speaking and sharing, and they had, who's the singer I said, Zach? Chris Tomlin. And so Chris Tomlin was asked to come and sing a few songs. So this is a Christian prayer breakfast. And probably three or four times in that morning, I just broke into tears. And you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says in the Old Testament that Judah came out in force, the men, the women, the children, to ask God to bless the country and to protect them. And so I was reading this verse, how that, you know, intercessory prayer is crucial. I don't agree with 90% of the teaching on it because it's so defeated. But the fact that they would come out and ask God, protect, and that's when they put the worship and praise people in the front. And he destroyed all of these countries that were trying to take his people out. And I thought it's important that we ask. Without asking God to do big things, we just become these familiar people who just do church. I don't want Kingdom Builders to just become another luncheon. I don't want to be just another cool get-together and some prospects. Go ahead. But it's got to be our original purpose, which is we must continue to take this message of Jesus to the world in a spirit contemporary way. One of the moments that really hit me was Chris Tomlin gets up. And of course, so we've got Democrats and Republicans putting this on. So a Democrat and a Republican would get up and talk. Then another Democrat and Republican would get up and share this. And so they're trying to be very safe. And there was 140 countries represented there that were coming to this prayer breakfast to pray with the President of the United States. And so Chris Tomlin gets up with three guys on a guitar, and he starts to sing Amazing Grace. And so he's singing Amazing Grace with these just three guitars, and he's singing his heart out into this mic. And this kind of professional, cold, aristocratic crowd all of a sudden started to rise to its feet. And the whole place starts to sing this song. My chains are gone. I've been set free. And God really spoke to me. And he said, you know what? It just takes someone to ask me. You put a president over there, whether you like him or not, I don't care. The President of the United States sat there and concurred and said, yes, there's the vice president. We've got all these senators. We got security. I'm telling you. And they're here to just say, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to touch our country. We're going to ask God to do something great and big. And then, so when he got up, so it was interesting. I got a picture, but it's lousy, or maybe I'll show it if I get it. But so I got a picture from four tables away of Chris Tomlin standing on stage, and he's singing. And this whole place full of politicians around the world and people are standing there, and their hands are in the air, and they're singing Amazing. And then there's that one that my chains are gone, I've been set free. My Lord and Savior has ransomed me. I'm bawling like a baby. And then I took a picture, and in this picture, I've got these three people standing on a stage. It's probably out from here to the stage there. And there's a security guy. What do you call this? His Secret Service. So here's this tough-looking guy. I mean, nothing touches him. He is standing right in, so if he's standing right underneath Chris Tomlin, because they've got them in different spots of the stage, under like this, And you can see this strap coming across his shoulder, going under his coat, and disappearing up the back. And he's just standing like this, and tough as nails looking. You can just see, you know, these eyes that are like just, and he's just scanning the crowd. And I'm watching, and I'm thinking, you know, God, we need to be on guard. It just hit me. Here's this worship that's going like crazy, and this entire place is on its feet, which I don't, the guys I talked to who said, we've never seen that like that. And then here's the security. It just reminded me that we need to be on guard. We got to make sure here at Springs that we don't become the second generational slump. You know, where look what God has done. This is wonderful. And then we just somehow lose our passion to see things that have never been done before get done. And so I want to see things like we've never seen before. And we're going to see it. We're going to see it in ways that are so unique. And I say that every year. And every year I come back and I show it. Look what God is doing. And so when I get a chance to sit down, I'll put some stuff together about that. I wanted to share a quick thought with you that I believe will be a blessing to you. Oh, I'll tell you a quick story. I told one table. So I was in D.C. from Monday to Thursday in meetings out there. And then I had to hop a plane and go to Seattle. You know, Seattle's in the midst of a big storm. So I was doing a 30th anniversary for Dave Minton and his church. And so they wouldn't let us land in Seattle. They tried 2-3 times, aborted the landing, put us over in Portland. So now I'm in Portland at 4 in the morning, and I have to be over close to Seattle in a place called Olympia. And so I just rented a car, and it was so bad they wouldn't give me insurance. So Mike says I'm covered, less good. And because I'm driving, and it's so icy there. I don't know if it's got to do with the coast or the moisture or what it is, that in front of me, the semi was driving and he slowed down. And because the road was crowned, he just slid sideways into the ditch and blocked the road. Then I got a semi behind me that he's just sitting there on the spot and it won't even go. It's just spinning, a little bit of an incline, just sitting there spinning. And then he slid. And then I got cars coming at me. So my vehicle, and it's, I don't know why they don't put better tires on these cars. So my vehicle slides right into the ditch, but on the shoulder, so you've got the shoulder paved and then into the grass, which is full of snow, slides right into there, which you know with slick tires, how in the world are you going to get out? So I'm sitting here and I'm trying hard not to lose my whatever. And I'm looking around, and I actually have to get in my car because people are sliding at me from over here, and it's a rental car, and I don't have insurance. So I'm getting out, and I'm skating all over the road, and I'm stopping this car, and I'm stopping that car. Then another Sammy's coming down, and it was crazy. So finally, I got everybody else sorted out, and I'm still in the ditch. So I thought, I need help. No one would stop. So finally, this grandpa stops. Beautiful African-American guy, he looks at me and he says, would you like a push? I thought to myself, right. You know when the one side is hung up on the snow, and so when it slides this way and it kind of piles in the snow and the snow is holding the weight of the vehicle up, so you got to have a shovel and shovel it all out. Well, that's what I should have done, and I kind of kicked some of it away. So he comes over there and he's walking like this. I'll let him try. God bless him, I'll let him try. And he pushes me out. So then he turns around, he just walks back to his truck and he waves me. And I'm going, thank you. I thought I was going to spend the night in the car and then miss all this stuff. And I didn't want to leave. How do you leave? Can you even leave a rental? I don't know. Okay, yeah. So I was telling one table the story. So he could have been an angel. And I thought, you know, that's right. The Bible says we entertain angels unawares. Who says they can't be grandpas? So anyway, I got so many stories from this past week, but Father, bless our time together as we just cover a quick study in your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Ahead of us, ahead of you, can be some of the most exciting times of your life. Or you can just go on and be mediocre. Nobody's called to be mediocre. Everybody from wherever you are today, from whatever failures, whatever heartaches, whatever hurts, whatever limitations that you've had, I don't care if you've gone bankrupt. I don't care if you've gone through a divorce. I don't care if your life has gone to hell in a handbasket. God never relinquishes the dreams he has for your life. And only you can do that. And so the enemy of our souls will attack your mind. You see, his job is to tempt you into sin. Now, as soon as you say that, everybody, can I get a water, Zach, from there? Everybody thinks, yeah, sex, drugs, rock and roll, that's sin. No. The word for sin, thanks, is hamartia, which means that you are tempted out of God's best for your life. You're tempted off course for what God has for you. So if you think about this, probably one of the greatest sins, we use the word sins, we get all messed up. Sins don't send you to hell. Okay? The sin was not accepting Christ as your Savior. So you accepted Him, but now sin is to get you off course. And if He can get you to give up on a dream, if He can get you to stop thinking big, if He can get you to go, well, I'm divorced, I've been bankrupt, everybody knows what I've gone through, how could God ever use me? You're actually His favorite. Read the Bible. Okay? Jesus came from a pregnant teenager who wasn't married. I mean, David was no winner as a man after God's own heart. You can't pick a winner anywhere through the Bible. And so we've really got to recognize that. And I agree so wholeheartedly with Ed that when you come to a place in your life where you can retire, where you can just sit on beaches, take more time. You've earned it. Go holiday more. Go enjoy more. But I think to disengage from your destiny, to disengage from purpose of doing something great for God, I think is going to hurt you horribly. And actually, he's right. When I was a paramedic, I don't know how many times I would go to sudden deaths in people's homes. And as we're scooping this guy, I'd hear the wife say, and we often talked about it as paramedics, often say, he just retired. We were just going to start living. Stuff like that. And so, yes, go ahead and enjoy more, do more, play more. But to stop, you know, I had a guy come and talk to me about succession planning for Springs Church. And so he thought he was an expert. And he was, quote unquote. And so he gets done talking about how, you know, you're not a success till you've got a successor. And I let him do his spiel, and, you know, and he thinks he's never built anything himself, but he's an expert on succession. And I said, sorry, so you're barking up the wrong tree. I said, I'll be raising up leaders everywhere, in churches, TV stations, in schools. We're going to raise up leaders and organizations. And my plan before I die is to find leaders for everything. I said, I don't plan on retiring. Where is that in the Bible? Well, what are you going to do? I said, I'll direct from somewhere. But you don't learn something about our age, and I don't have to keep preaching. There'll be gifted leaders everywhere running things and doing things and all that we need. But I'm not going to just quit and then try to hand it off. I plan on, I'll relax more and more and more and hand off more and more. And I think that's a good thing for all of us to look at. Don't retire from life. It does something to your vital force when you just quit life as far as a purpose for life, and your purpose is only yourself and having fun. So here's the thought I want to leave you today. Holy Spirit, probably one of the words that has hurt me the most, and I think that it's not the best word to describe the Holy Spirit, is the word comforter. Now, don't get me wrong. When I've lost family and loved ones, wow, the comfort of the Holy Spirit is incredible. It's amazing. But, you know, when I hear the word comforter, I'm thinking of that great big thick quilt that's on our bed. You know? And so Holy Spirit's my thick quilt. And so Dad's going to go climb under the quilt, under the comforter. And so, hey, Mom, where's Dad? Can Dad come out and play? Honey, he's under the comforter. And, well, you know, can we go do something? He's with the comforter. It's almost as though the Christian world sees Holy Spirit as the one who comforts us as you go from failure to failure. Holy Spirit comforts us while you go from loss to loss. And everywhere I go, you know, every worship service, and I was in a church the other day, and every service was this kind of worshiping, so everyone could be comforted from the pain and the heartache they've had in their lives this week. Now, don't get me wrong. All of us have experienced the need for the comforter. But I don't want to be comforted for the rest of my life, laying under a bed, under a comfort. It's not me. I need to get out. And so the word comforter, actually, it's the word helper that is the best accurate word for Holy Spirit when you get into the translations. And you see it in the Old Testament and in the New. In Deuteronomy 33:26, listen to this verse. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, which is a name for Israel, when it is following God, Jeshurun. It says, there is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help. Rides through the heavens to your help. And in his majestic glory through the skies. The word help can be seen all through the Old Testament. The things that David wrote about my help comes from the Lord. Look unto the fields, look unto the hills from which cometh thine help. The word help is all through the Old Testament. And its meaning there is that someone comes alongside and sets you free and helps you. And I mean, there's a ton of them. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13 is a well-known one. It says that Daniel was praying and an angel came with the answer. And so the angel says, I'd have been here sooner because it's been 21 days. Here's the angels that said, but when I tried to come, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. This is an angel. So you know this is not a natural king. No natural king can stop an angel. So this prince of Persia is the evil spirit over the nation of Persia. So it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief of the celestial princes, came to help me. For I remained there with the kings of Persia. See, a lot of people think that because of the Old Testament, that we have to pray and bind the devil and break through the skies because it took this angel 21 days to get there with an answer. But you see, that's Old Covenant. None of that works today. You see, I don't need an angel to give me a message. You don't need an angel to give you. He might use that. He's never done it with me. Why? Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. None of them had the Spirit of God in them. We do. And if that was to happen today where God wanted to send an angel, and I'm praying that nothing could stop him because Jesus has all authority now. He dies on the cross, goes to hell with our sins, rises again. And when he was resurrected, you and I were resurrected. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You're seated at the right hand of the Father, which means all the authority that Jesus won has been invested in his church. Here is one of the crowning teachings that the church world doesn't understand. They want to know why does bad things happen here. Listen, it has every, stop studying the Bible as to why and go to authority. It's the authority that is the issue. And so, Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John, I'm leaving and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be your comforter. Okay, take that word comforter out. It's just a word the translators used hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Helper is what the modern translations will put there. He's our helper. And he will help you with everything that you're called to do. He will help you raise your kids. He will help you to get your finances to where he will help you. And so the thing about a helper, now this is where you're going to blow someone's mind, is that it doesn't say he's the initiator. It says he's the helper. So if I look down and I say, Kelly, I need your help. Very first thing he's going to say is, with what? Oh, nothing. I just need you to be my helper. What's up? And so a helper doesn't know what to do till the initiator decides what to do. It's interesting to me that none of these crazy epiphanies with Ed and Carolyn and the stuff took place until they made a decision to do something. Once they made the decision, agreed on the decision, and they couldn't even do it, that all of a sudden Holy Spirit went to work revealing and making it happen. Holy Spirit is our helper. And so even when it comes to communication, God began to deal with me on this because of the things that we're looking at right now around the world is going to require such incredible wisdom. And so I'm thinking, I said, God, okay, I need Holy Spirit's help. Then I begin to recognize he's my helper. So if I say, I need all you guys' help, first question, well, doing what? That's like Holy Spirit every day. He's here, your helper. What's he doing? What is he doing for you? Well, you know, Leon, it's been a rough 10 years. Well, Leon, you know, we've had a lot of failures. Well, I really don't know what. Well, then you know what? Get up and set a godly goal and watch what happens. There's something about goal setting. There's something about having something out there that's bigger than you can do. Because, you know, if I say, oh, I'm going to lift this cup of water. You know, Tim, would you come help me lift this cup of water? You don't need help lifting the cup of water. You have to ask for help to do something you can't do. I'm going to lift these two chairs and the table at the same time and put them on the stage. I need three guys to help me. That requires help. So if God, okay, because Holy Spirit is three in one, three persons in one, that's God. If Holy Spirit is your helper, then how much are we underestimating him? Why aren't we giving him, you know, like the business thing said 15 years ago, these big, hairy, audacious goals, bags, that says, I'm doing this. Okay, I'm going in that direction. Because once you start going in that direction, Holy Spirit helps you. Just the fact that you ask for help raising your kids. You know, when the church was going crazy, where I was brand new and didn't even have enough staff, I think we were past 1,000 people and I'm still the only pastor. I didn't have a hot clue what to do with that thing. Now I just forgot what the point I was making. Thank you. And so here we are. I'm trying to keep everything going. It's growing. People are getting saved. I've got my family, and I want to be full on with my family. And so I found that when you got five kids, and you're trying to, and they're all completely different. So what I would do is I would just pray for each of them by name each day. And I just pray, and then I would just ask for Holy Spirit's help. Help me. One day I'm praying for, actually it was Danielle. And she was being a real stinker. She was just, you know, I don't know, five or six. And so whenever I came home, she was disruptive. She was loud. She was bugging. She wouldn't obey. She was sitting at the table making noise, wouldn't be quiet. And it was just, you know, and so I'm just praying. And this came back to me. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, she's not seen you smile for weeks. And she needs to see you smile. She needs to see you laugh. Now, you might think this is a little thing, but I know a ton of preacher's kids who walk away from ministry because parenting, they didn't know how to deal with the pressures of ministry and the things that are going on. And it was an epiphany. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're my helper to be a good dad. Well, went to the supper table that day and doing her stuff. You know, just disruptive and loud. And so rather than just trying to get her to be quiet and disciplined, I hauled her out of that chair, put her on the carpet, and tickled her until she almost peed her. She's giggling and laughing. All the kids are laughing. And it just broke. And I realized, Leon, laugh a little bit. You know, it wasn't that I was sad. I was just intent on something. But Holy Spirit's my helper to raise kids. He'll actually talk to me about a six-year-old kid, mine, in the midst of all that's happening for the kingdom. I found out Holy Spirit would help me when it came to financial deals. You know, I remember one time walking out and chatting with some men, and we were looking at the property. We're sitting on 53 acres, and I just want more. We need more property. And I look past the power lines and talking to a few people. I said, okay, you guys, just go find out who owns that property and let's get it. Just bam, just like that. So they went to work trying to find out who owned the property. Well, found out that whether it's CN or CP, whoever the railway is right there, and they contacted them, and the person they contacted, I think it was they got a hold of, this guy says, I don't know what to say. We just decided a few days ago to get rid of that 34 acres right there. Good. What would you take for it? And it was this bizarrely cheap price. Done. Ours. And it was just a moment of saying, okay, and if you don't listen, if you don't choose, see, even in conversations, no, don't get this wrong, Holy Spirit is not the initiator to do things. You are. He's the helper. So, yes, he'll guide you in the direction of your life, but he actually does that by putting it in your heart. I talk to pastors all the time that, well, we're going to go fast for 40 days as a church and we're going to get direction from God. So you don't have any direction from God? So you got to go hungry for 40 days or whatever it is and you're all to get direction from God. Well, yeah. I said, well, he's supposed to talk to you every day. He's supposed to be talking to you every minute. He's like the radio. He doesn't stop. You might have the radio off, but he's always sending. And so when it comes to Holy Spirit for your job, for your whatever is eating your lunch, if it's family, if you're not being able to get results in finances, whatever, you can't get results, you're not supposed to get results on your own. You're supposed to ask for help. And the helper is Holy Spirit. And so my challenge to you would be, and because this I don't want to go on for a long time, but Holy Spirit deals with your heart. And the only way for you to go into the next chapter of your life isn't to change your external world, it's to change your internal world. In Hebrews 4:12, it says there that the Word of God is quick and powerful, or it's alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide. And then it talks about your spirit, your soul, and your body. And the last verse says, and it give me that. Who's got this verse for me? I had a brain stall. Thank you. And it divides, it judges the very thoughts, the intentions. Another version says the purposes of your heart. So Holy Spirit's job to help you go into the next season of what you're to do isn't just to go out there and guide you. Okay, who's the person I hire? What do I do? No, he goes internally into your heart. And he begins to judge the motives, because they have to be correct. But then the very intentions. God has placed intentions and purposes in you when you were in your mother's womb. Psalms 139 verse 11 says that he formed you in your mother's womb. That's the physical. Then it says he formed your inward parts. That's when he placed within you gifts and abilities, and he knew you before the world began, and he placed within you things to do. So you're not going to discover them by fasting and praying and seeking God and looking out there outside of yourself. You're going to discover them as you learn to do the heart work within you. And the key, I said this on Sunday, the key is, well, how do I know my destiny? How do I know my purpose? How do I know my calling? Okay, take those words and I've read so many books on them, and I think that there's some help with each of them. But number one, your purpose is to know Jesus. To know Jesus. And when you know him, you are to believe in his love, and you are to experience his love. If you're not experiencing his love, none of the decisions you make in business and family will be correct. Because if you're not experiencing his love, then you are not secure in who you are in self-worth. So every decision that you make will be a self-worth decision. It'll be something to succeed and prove who you are, because you're not at peace there now. So to have a relationship with Jesus is to believe he loves you, and I believe that comes from studying from the cross to the throne. And then it is experiencing his love. And I'm going to challenge all you A personality types, as Ed said he was, who are driven to go succeed, and women, because much of that drive is to find value, which is what love is. Okay? Because the Bible says that the love of God, see, faith worketh by love. What is love? It's feeling valued. Once you know how valued you are at the heart level and at the core, then and only then are you able to rise up and go do great things. You see, we know in leadership, the worst person to put in leadership is a low self-worth person. Here's why. When you succeed, they're awesome. They get the credit. When they fail, okay, they're destroyed, because it's their self-worth that's going up and down. But when you've got somebody who believes in the love of God, who experiences the love of God, your marriage can go through a rough spot. Your business can go through a rough spot. Your friendships can go through a rough spot. And nothing touches your core, your sense of value. I'm valuable. Well, why are you valuable? Because I got lots of money. I just went bankrupt. Why are you valuable? Because I got a great marriage and kids. Actually, we're struggling through that right now. Why are you valuable? Well, because if you don't have this value, this sense of I'm valued and significant through a relationship with Jesus, then in business, you will make all the wrong decisions, because it'll all be about you. So this is crucial. If you, 2019, if you want to go to levels you've never been before, okay, go ahead and read all the books you want by all the experts out there. But I'm promising you this. I sat down with an actress that I happened to meet, her and her husband in Washington. And I won't say her name because I never know where these tapes go. And just depressed off the max. Christian, loved God. And so we sat down, a group of us, and they introduced around. And at some point in this conversation, she's just like this. And I said, wow. I said, you're all blocked up, eh? She goes, excuse me? I said, you're all blocked up. You're, you know, something, what's messing with you? What's going on? And she looked at me like this, and she just started to share how messed up she's feeling. And she had it analyzed in a way that would go deeper and deeper. She had verbiage for everything. And I said, do you want me to cut through all that and just help you with one simple thing? Yes, please. I said, when your worth and your value comes from what you do, as you succeed, and she's very successful, as you succeed, your self-worth succeeds with you. But because love is what all, it's the greatest craving of every human heart, is to be loved. Once a person uses their gift to be successful, and then people are attracted to the gift in your life, you have an epiphany one day that people don't love you, they love your gift. And every one of these people go over the top, and they go into deep depression. They need drugs, alcohol, sex, anything, because they don't feel authentic. Nobody knows who I am. And I said, it's because you must first establish your self-worth. And I taught what I just talked about in believing Jesus loves you and then experiencing the love of Jesus. And as I'm teaching her this, her husband, you can just see this thankful look all over his face. He gets up and he walks to the front of the table and he stops everybody, because there's people walking by, I want to say hi, but go. He won't let anybody come near the table. He just stood there and he stopped. She's in the meeting. And he left me there teaching her how to believe and how to experience the love of God. And I said, once you secure that, you are free to go on to great creativity. You're free to go on to great losses, ups and downs, and nothing touches you, because love, which is value, now comes from loving Jesus. And once you begin to love Jesus, your faith will finally work constantly, because faith worketh by love. And love is value. So until you establish your value in the love of Christ, and this is what Holy Spirit's trying to do. That's why we hear about, you know, the seed going in the soil. The seed's God's word, the soil is your heart. He's continually trying to establish your heart so that as you begin now, you can believe in a phenomenal way. And the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, Romans 5:5, by the Holy Spirit. My challenge to you this year is to believe Jesus loves you. My challenge to you this year is to start experiencing His love. There are some people who frantically need love from their spouse, and it's too much that you need, and it's because you don't feel valued anywhere else. Nothing will satisfy this need to be valued. When you use the word love, it's not accurate for our generation, because we think, well, God's rubbing my cheek right now. Ooh, I feel His love. I got holy goosebumps. Jesus is loving me. No, the word love, probably one of the most accurate words I have found, and would be to feel valued, to feel significant. And that's what Holy Spirit does. He goes into God's Word and He begins to push out all the bad teaching, the wrong teaching that you and I have had growing up, all the things that we have set our love on. We have set our value on looks. That's why it takes 14 facelifts and everything else to maintain. And I have no problem with whatever you got to do to keep looking good. But if it's because you feel valued from your looks, what a depressing senior citizen you're going to be. If your value comes from career, what a depression retirement's going to be. If your value's handed to the peers in your industry, how fickle they are anyway, how depressed you'll be. If you hand your self-worth, your value to your spouse, what a roller coaster ride, handing your value to the person you're sleeping with and living with day after day. There's hell. This is so crucial that our value is established in Christ and His love for us. If you could do that this year and get to know Jesus. And the reason the cross to the throne is so powerful is because you'll begin to believe that He loves you if He would do this. I think Aaron got it ready last week, or the series on understanding the cross. And just listen to it and begin to recognize that Jesus... You see, we often think that Jesus... See, here's how I thought about Jesus, and I hope I can help you, and I'll stop pretty quick if you're tired of me. But Jesus did not have extra strength. He did not have extra power beyond you and me to do what He did. Like, we all think, he's a Son of God, big deal, walks on the water, goes to hell, dies on a cross. He's God, for Pete's sake. No, the Bible very clearly says He gave up all of the rights and the privileges to power outside of the human experience, and He became a human. 95% of all the titles that were given to Jesus were not the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. And when you realize that the same fears and weaknesses and temptations that you and I deal with pushed against Him, and He was rightly tempted, He was rightly with fear and everything else, and that He went to that and He took the sin of the world, and that what He felt and sensed had to be so God that He screamed on the cross, "My God, why have You forsaken me?" Like, for some reason we get Jesus all wrong. We've forgotten He became human. We know He was all God, but He didn't use any of His God attributes. I know He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do miracles, signs, and wonders. We have Holy Spirit. And then you realize, wow, Jesus. And you begin to believe His love. There are Christians in the room who know more doctrine than me, but you've never experienced love. And you will never succeed in relationships because your love will be fairly toxic, because all love has been judged as too conditional. Well, I did this, why won't you do this? I love you, but unconditional love that says, I am so loved, I can love you unconditionally, is where, and now I'm going to swing it right back to the business world, that is where you will walk with such power. Because if faith works because of this established value, your value's been established. Now the gifts of the Spirit is easy as pie, because your head is up over top of all this neediness that you've got, which makes you interpret everything wrong. But when you establish your value in Christ and you get out of this fog of who did what and why did they say this and why did my spouse do this and how come they don't notice this and it's an emotional backwash. If you can just get your head by loving Jesus up, there is a clarity that is so clear that you'll just sense and know, and the Spirit of God can flow through you, because nothing can touch your sense of feeling valued. Do that. Even after this message, maybe get a copy and go through it over and over. Because if you're not getting results in an area, I would say, I would say that you should, because God's your helper. And if God's your helper, why would you be afraid of what men could stop or what men could do? And it sounds so religious to some people, because teach me how to manage better, teach me how to dream better, teach me how to plan better, teach me how to do these things better. But what I have found as I travel amongst people now around this planet, there's a certain type of person that I have discovered. And I know them in a second now. I meet people who are so confident, but not externally. You know, when someone puts on that brittle confidence, hey, how's it going? They shake your hand, they push forward as they shake it. And, you know, that brittle confidence. But you'll meet somebody with, there's such a peace about them. There's such a joy about them. There's such a sense of righteousness about them. Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Those three things is when Holy Spirit rises up in you, that's how you sense Him. You sense that you're righteous. You sense a peace, and you sense a joy. And the last phrase says, in the Holy Spirit. So that's my word for today. Make this a decision. Because what is stopping you from wherever you want to go is you can get so stuck in life until you pull your value away from everything that is out there, and you and Jesus are at peace and you're joyful. Now you have incredible strength, confidence, faith. Everything seems to work at that point. Father, I pray that you'd bless each person here. I pray that you'd cause us to not miss what's ahead of us. I pray the adventure. I pray that all that's ahead of all of us together here at Springs on Kingdom Builders and individually in their careers, marriages, homes, and families, I pray that today they would begin to crave and desire to believe in your love and to experience it. Father, guide them in that, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. We got dessert now, I think. And so we're going to do that. But a couple quick announcements. On your tables are the Kingdom Builder form, I think, should be there. And if you haven't yet handed one in for this year, please do that. What it does is it establishes what your goal's going to be for this year, and it gives Holy Spirit something to help you towards. All right? As well, the gift we want to give you today is a book by Joel Osteen. I want to tell you a little bit about Joel Osteen. This is a very special man. He's probably the most attacked pastor in America. I don't know if you know that. But, they don't like the fact he refuses to deal with doctrinal issues. And he's not really, anytime we're together, whether it's hanging out, or he'll bring that up. You know, God hasn't called me to the back. He looked me right in the eye one time and said, Leon, I'm not a pastor. He said, God told me to do one thing, bring people hope. And that's what I'm doing. Well, he's doing it at a stunning, stunning place. So enjoy him. Yeah, you might find certain things and go, I don't get this. He's just trying to encourage you. But this is the book. It's called Next Level Thinking. So don't go yet. We still got dessert and hanging out to do. But when you do, make sure and grab that book. And I pray that you enjoy it. I don't know about you, but all of us need to be encouraged. It doesn't matter who you are. There's sometimes, just get your head up out of how, what, where, when, why, and just go, just need to be encouraged and get a chance to read. I think you're going to enjoy it. I'm not getting released from this message. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. Just stand to our feet for a minute, and we're going to... I want to pray a faith prayer. I'm going to mix my faith with yours on what I talked about tonight. Because I believe what is ahead of you, the next chapter for your life, is hard to do because you're going to be incompetent for a while. And you're all successful at something. No one likes feeling incompetent. To feel incompetent is to maybe lose everything. It's to maybe look dumb. It's not. And so when we go to the next phase of our lives, God's never going to let you just go competent. You're going to be incompetent. But Holy Spirit will help you. He's your helper. And very quickly, you'll move from incompetence to competence. So some of you, I'm going to repeat this, you have not got a vision or a dream for your future because you've lost or you're finished whatever gave you your success from before, however that happened. And so you have to trust God again that there's more in you than one talent, that there's more in you than just what you're as a young person had, that if you're breathing, God has something fantastic for you, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. And you're just existing right now if you don't have a goal. And if you don't set a goal and pray towards that goal and confess towards that goal, Holy Spirit's got nothing to help you with. That's how crucial faith goals are. And in every area, have faith goals for your marriage, your kids, your business, your church. Have faith goals for you individually. And just keep talking that way. Every day you're praying to Him, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go do this. Help me. Just pray it that way until you have this sense of Holy Spirit helping you with all these things in your life. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a new day. Father, I'm praying for every person in this room right now. Father, I believe something powerful is taking place right now in this room. And I'm asking you to touch hearts. I'm praying that, Father, the hurt, I pray right now that the things that have caused us to give up, that things that have caused us to maybe just start to coast, Father, I just pray that that would be destroyed right now. And the way you designed them to be passionate, to be zealous, to be filled with the fervor. Lord, you said zeal for your house has eaten you up. That's what Jesus was like. Help us to stay that way and be that way. Father, I pray, wake up the mighty men inside of every one of us. I pray, wake up, Father, the future and the dream. Holy Spirit, touch the heart until the purposes begin to rise up. New desires are going to begin to rise up within them, and it's going to be you deep inside their heart. Father, I speak blessing. I thank you for the people in this room. They have stood with us, believed with us, struggled, and even suffered, Father, to give and to reach people for you. So right now, I'm asking you to touch them, heal them, inspire them, raise them up, and let great things happen that can be traced to tonight. I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. I want to say thank you to Ed and Carolyn for just opening up like that and just sharing from your heart. That was pretty precious, and I really value that and appreciate that tonight. Would you give them a hand with me? That was awesome. I just thank you so much.